I no more think about Maxwell when I write than I do than when I hit a tennis ball. I think about the man who taught me how to hit a backhand. But it's there.
The gravel pit was about a mile east of town and the size of a small lake, and so deep that boys under 16 were forbidden by their parents to swim there. I knew it only by hearsay. It had no bottom, people said.
And you know, his own prose style was plain spoken. He was Midwestern, and although he was at the New Yorker, both Nabokov's and Updike's editors, so he was perfectly comfortable dealing with writing of that kind, but it wasn't his own writing. Fact.
One winter morning, shortly before daybreak, three men loading gravel there heard what sounded like a pistol shot. Or they agreed it could have been a car backfiring. Within a few seconds, it had grown light.
After I got out of college, I took a job in Wellfleet, Massachusetts as a policeman. I thought that I would try to write about it because I thought that nobody had ever written a book about being a policeman in a small town in America, and I would write this book and I would get rich. And so I sat down and I began to write. And at a certain point, my father said, asked Maxwell, who was my father's closest friend, would he read the work that I've been doing? I was 24 when I started writing, and then and within maybe 6 months of then, I had begun working with Maxwell. It was a crazy task to try to learn to write a book when you didn't even know what you were doing, and I had no idea, but I didn't know it was a crazy task. I just wanted to do it. It was as if he'd gotten into trouble and this was community service, practically. You know, he was really had been given a, you know, Mr. Maxwell, you're going to spend 45 hours with Mr. Wilkinson here, who has a book. My first sentence for the book originally had been, of course I was scared, only a fool wouldn't be. You know, and then I was going to write down, you know, I was in the middle of a car chase, you know. And it's because I'd been reading Hunter Thompson, you know, because I was so impressionable that my writing reflected whatever I was reading, and it didn't matter whether it was good or not. And I didn't know what was good writing yet at that point, really. Now it actually reads, in May of 1975, when I was 23 years old, 5 months out of college, with a degree in music, and without any idea of what to do with myself, I took a job as a policeman in Wellfleet, Massachusetts, and resolved to stay with it for a year because I thought it would do me good. I wasn't a literary person. Because Maxwell was my father's closest friend, and I had known him all my life, I wasn't aware of his stature in the world at large. I hadn't read his books. I'd been in Maxwell's house plenty of times before, as I said, as a child. So I was just going over to the Maxwell's, and I was showing him what I'd done, and we'd sit down side by side at a table, and he'd begin to show me how I might make it better. And, of course, in the beginning, this was, you know, I needed a great deal of help. I was living on Cape Cod, and very early on in my working with him, I came down to visit him in New York City, and I actually got sick and stayed with him for several days. And he went out and bought me about 10 books that were, you know, he thought very important for, you know, as a young reader to read. A Sport and a Pastime by James Salter. And I think he gave me that because it concerns a young man. It's a kind of memoir in Paris, and I was trying to write a memoir. An edition of Chekhov stories, Anna Karenina, a very short novel called My Mortal Enemy by Willa Cather. I think In Patagonia by Bruce Chatwin, and The Odyssey, Robert Fitzgerald's version of The Odyssey. I only got finished with him about a year ago. He said, when I asked him why had you done it, he said, well, generally, when he told me something, I didn't repeat the mistake. I listened to him. I paid attention. I really thought, I cannot waste his time. I wasn't taking it lightly. Maxwell was a very practical editor. You know, have you said what it was you intended to say? Could you say it better? Could it be said more efficiently? Could it be said more simply? We never sat down and talked about writing or what we do as writers. We would never talk about what something meant.
The sound was not a car backfiring. A tenant farmer named Lloyd Wilson had just been shot and killed. And what they heard was the gun that killed him.
I think I owe everything to Maxwell. The way Wayne Gretzky says, everything I have, I owe to hockey. Everything I have, I owe to Maxwell.
That was Alec Wilkinson. His book about William Maxwell, My Mentor, was published last year. We also heard William Maxwell himself reading from his novel, So Long, See You Tomorrow. Studio 360's David Krasnow produced our piece.